Blog Talk Radio.
Gladys.
I take you for a ride. I'm a garbage truck. Oh no. I take you to the dump. 'Cause you're not my queen.
I was wrong for singing, I know y'all.
I like it. Sing again. Sing again.
That's not my real singing voice. We cannot give them the awesome power of the real singing voice. Good morning, Ginger.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you?
I am excellent.
That is excellent.
I am excellent.
Excellent.
And those of you out there that are listening, you're listening to the smooth sounds of... No.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I am Mama.
Well, I guess if she's Mama, I'm baby.
Oh, we are not good. We're not good. Oh, Ginger, I can't believe you missed all that drama yesterday. That was...
I know. Oh, I cannot. See, this is why you don't nap in the afternoons. You miss all the fun. All the fun. Corey, oh my God, that was epic. I went back and read the whole thing. What were they even trying to argue? Oh, we just don't like her because she's a sex worker. What? No.
I never said that.
No, you didn't. They were the ones harping on that. Like, look, if you feel bad about what you do, that's your own thing. Don't push that on us.
Well, here's what I thought was absolutely hilarious is, she says, I know my gaming history, and I'm like, then you should know exactly who I am, and no, I have no problems with you, because I did the same thing you did in Second Life. I understand mm-hmm. you got to make your money. I just don't think the two need to tie in together all the time, at least not in this instance. So we'll talk more about that Thursday. I invited them to come on. Of course, the little, what is it, my significant other said, there's always the big dog you're arguing with and then the little yapping dog that won't shut up. So the little side yapper won't be I'm sorry, she was cracking me up. I love when people attempt to insult you when they don't know you. That is the most hilarious thing to me ever. Speaks of delusions of grandeur. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm also picking. I'm hoping to start another fight, but...
Well, you know what?
I love me a good fight, man. That was good. Got my blood pumping all late in the evening. I was able to get a whole lot of work done. Thank you, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt bad for Jay and Horace. They tried to intervene. I think it bothers guys to see girls fighting, quote unquote. We weren't really fighting. I was debating. I think they were fighting and I was debating.
Yeah, I was going to say you were debating. They were fighting. You were just kind of dancing a circle around them. You know, they would throw something up and you'd pop a bubble in it or pop a hole in it. Burst their little bubbles. There we go.
But ladies, you're still welcome to come on. If you would like to continue this debate, we'll even let you call in.
Mm-hmm. I'll be there.
We know you could be there causing trouble.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never cause.
You always causing trouble.
Well, I'm innocent, sweet, and nice, and hey, Jay, just for you, boobs. Okay. Well, I hadn't said it yet.
So nice of you. Okay, so I am trying to get some trailers for you guys, so you may hear a little going on. So I got Battlefield 3 trailer. I got the Resident Evil release trailer. If you haven't seen it, delicious.
Very nice.
Delicious and juicy news, but I'll let Ginger go first.
Yay, because I've actually got some good news. I'm going to start with some good news today. You know, I usually start with some bad or some, yeah, whatever. But anyway, this is good. Right. I am pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. And forgive me if I sound a little bit hyper. I may have had a little bit too much caffeine. Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, a charity that raises much-needed cash for 170 children's hospitals across North America, announced plans to launch its 24-hour video game fundraising marathon called Extra Life on Saturday, October 15th at 8 a.m. local time. This is awesome. I love this. The Extra Life Marathon was created to honor the late Victoria Tori Enman, a 15-year-old girl who played video games during her battle with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. See, I can't say many other words. If you give me something medical, I'll spit that out right there. All right, so Extra Life participants are asked to raise money by recruiting at least four sponsors to give a minimum of $1 for each hour of the marathon, which is about $24 per person. Individuals can play any game they choose, including their phone, computer, or even board games, and can participate at home or create or join groups and play from any location of their choosing. Each donation stays in the community where it was given to benefit the local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. Those interested in participating should check out extra-life.org. If you are taking part in this marathon gaming session, please feel free to post your links in the comments section of the story. We wish everyone participating in the event the best of luck. By the way, this is, again, over on GamePolitics.com if you want to go do that. On a related note, they say, Xbox 360 will host its Gaming and Giving for Good G3 Xbox Live charity on Saturday, October 1st, to benefit Extra Life. G3 will tap millions of Xbox Live members to raise funds for the charity. As part of the event, all participants who register at xbox.com/G3 will receive a free Xbox Live Gold membership for the weekend to play their favorite game. Yay! So if you don't have an Xbox Live membership, if you want to try it out and you want it to be for a good cause, yes, this would be the weekend to be doing it.
Fantastical.
Fantastical!
Fantastical. Yep. Well, I don't know which one of these news is to do
what
first.
What we have here was...
I'm not sure. Well, which one of these news is to do? Okay, I got Gears of War, and then I got Microsoft.
Gears of War!
Well, some of you were up late last night, apparently.
Yes,
the Gears of War launch saw 20,000 different stores around the world open at midnight. Yes, one of those was Game's flagship shop in London. Remember those people? They attracted around 500 gamers, which is amazing. I didn't know there was many people in London. So many gamers in London.
I should have gone.
Man, I was not. I'm not a Gears fan. I couldn't.
Well, I thought about just going and taking pictures of people and talking and being like, hey, what are you doing?
You know, you all know we used to do that a lot here, but if you're not a fan of the game, it makes it hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what to ask you. You know, do you like the new guns? No, but, you know.
See, I thought about going about it the other direction because we all know I love me some Halo.
So how does it compare to Halo? I bet Halo's better. But, Ginger, we don't want you getting hurt out there. But yesterday's launch of Gears of War 3 kicked off the biggest season of blockbuster games in the history of 360, said Phil Spencer, who's the Microsoft corporate VP. So the team at Epic Games has raised the bar yet again, and we're extremely excited to see fans around the world get their hands on the game and jump into the action. The game has been well received by critics and currently has a score of 91 on Metacritic. They said they're saying this is their biggest Gears game yet, and even though it's the third installment in the trilogy, it's easiest to jump into, even if you're a new fan, like myself. Well, I don't know if I'm a new fan, but that's from Epic's Cliff Bleszinski, or Cliffy B, as we like to call him. They said they've also added more co-op play game options and built-in accessibility features throughout the game to make it approachable and fun for new players and series veterans alike. So, yay. Well, that's kind of short. You want me to go ahead and tell you about the other one? Because it's juicy. Ginger, did we lose you?
Yeah, no. Oh. I got a mouthful of granola bar.
Why?
Because I'm hungry.
Horace wants to talk about the gear mode changes. We have nothing on that. They have not sent us anything. We have a very odd relationship with the people at Epic Games. The things that they send us, I never know. But this is one that we didn't get from them, or we haven't heard much about. And sometimes I open the mailbox and there's stuff. I don't know. So maybe they'll send us something. It might be next week. I have no idea. But speaking of Microsoft, and I have lovely gunk in my throat. Ginger and I sound horrible. We sound like we've been smoking.
Right?
We sound like he's been in a room full of smoke or been smoking. Microsoft is set to step on some toes. Oh, another juicy fight is coming, y'all.
Yay, fight.
According to GI.biz, Microsoft is coming closer to finalizing a deal which will see live cable TV services coming to the 360 in the U.S. They've been in talks with Comcast and a relative newcomer to the cable game, Verizon. Wow. In a run-in. Yeah, can I breathe their throat in a partnership deal?
You need to breathe.
Yes.
Breathe.
I need to be able to breathe. Citing sources close to the company, a report by website Digiday has claimed that the cable deal with Microsoft was announced at E3 and could be launching as early as, like, in the next few weeks. Microsoft sources say They're looking to make allies rather than enemies from existing cable companies by facilitating the spread of their services, offering tightly targeted advertising and an install base of 35 million Xbox Live Gold account members. The install base would mean a raft of potential new customers for cable companies who wouldn't need to set top boxes or install processes. Ooh, I don't know about this. And they're already doing that with UVerse, in case you all didn't know. That's why it's going to be a fight. UVerse is not going to take this line down.
No, they're not.
Instead of being ready to receive cable on a demonstration or permanent basis with an installation established billing system already built into their hardware. Previewing the forthcoming cable system last week at Microsoft's investor conference, Steve Ballmer said that in all... Wow, you hear my phone? Wow, you guys are crazy. Steve Ballmer said that the offering would be live by the holiday season with dozens or hundreds of additional video content suppliers, news, sports, and your favorite channels. And that means Comcast, I will say, come get your damn box. Come get your damn box. Well, you know, wait a minute. Now, that's a good question. I wonder, I'm going to have to go around the back door to contacts and see if I can find out, what about people without DVR? Will you be able to record your shows? I mean, I know you can now. You can download shows from Netflix. But how's that going to work if you want to record your favorite shows and you got your games on the same hard drive? This does not look well, because I got too much save data. And you can't just be deleting save data. That means you got to start games over.
And I hate that. Final Fantasy original on the NES, yeah. Oh, what is this?
Somebody says, this almost makes me want to buy Microsoft stock again. Honey, you never get rid of your Microsoft stock.
Mm-mm,
not ever. Not ever.
Ooh, all right.
Ooh, Jen just got juiciness. I can hear it in her voice.
All right. For you people who liked Homefront, are you ready for another?
Ooh.
THQ and Crytek collaborate to develop next Homefront title. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So THQ today announced the next title in its Homefront franchise will be developed by multi-award-winning FPS veterans Crytek.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. Danny Bilson, EVP, Core Games THQ, says, selecting Crytek to take Homefront forward underscores our strategy of working with the industry's best talent. Homefront's unique setting and storyline captivated gamers the world over. With Crytek's industry-leading technology and legendary experience in the FPS genre, we're supremely confident that the next Homefront will deliver the AAA quality experience that players demand. Savette Yearly, founder, CEO, and president of Crytek, says, we see Homefront as a really strong universe that has a lot of potential and that has been expertly created and marketed by THQ. Yeah, except for those little red balloons that they had to pay how many thousands to have cleaned up? Anyway. We believe that bringing our level of quality, creativity, and production values to the next Homefront title creates an opportunity for both THQ and Crytek to deliver a truly blockbuster game. It's really important to us that THQ has the faith in us in giving us a lot of creative freedom over one of its most important properties to allow us to bring the Homefront world to life in a new and innovative way. The first Homefront title was released in March 2011 and proved to be a commercial success for THQ. The yet-to-be-named sequel is scheduled for release in THQ's fiscal year 2014 on console and PC platforms. All right, so for those of you who are living under a rock, let me help you out about Homefront. The year is 2027, not so far away. The world as we know it is unraveling after 15 years of economic meltdown and widespread global conflict over dwindling natural resources. A once-proud America has fallen, her infrastructure shattered, and her military in disarray. Crippled by a devastating EMP strike, the USA is powerless to resist the ever-expanding occupation of a savage, nuclear-armed Greater Korean Republic. Abandoned by her former allies, the United States is a bleak landscape of walled towns and abandoned suburbs. This is a police state where high school stadiums have become detention centers and shopping malls shelter armored attack vehicles. A once free people are now prisoners or collaborators or revolutionaries. Meanwhile, the splinter nations of Europe struggle to maintain peace at home as the global economy continues its downward spiral and civil order disintegrates. The world is teetering on the brink of ruin. Yeah. Dan, I'm singing because Corey's being all quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was watching the Battlefield 3 trailer again. I had to.
Oh, that is hot.
Well, we got a new one up.
Oh, I need to see it then.
I have added it to our lovely channel for those of you who want to go take a look. Right now, it's the last one until I get to switch them up. But so if you want to, you can use the little scroll bar in our channel and just scroll right to the last one and click. Oh, that is lovely. All right, so I bring to you now the next. You know what? I'm just going to start a section for these. For these little fights and stuff. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, first of all, this is from our home skillet and slices. Yes, I reach for the old school words. over at Venture Beat.
Oh, of course.
They're reporting this news, and now I'm going to tell you where the fight's going to come from because I always see it coming. I've been on all year telling you when they want to fight, they fight. Okay, so,
yes, you have.
Of course, a lot of people, like myself, you people out there, Ginger, even with her Xperia phone, you have your little gadget with you as you watch or surf TV. Most of us have iPads. We use it as your companion to surf TV channels. I use it to settle arguments. That's not so-and-so from that movie. Let's look it up on IMDb.
I had an argument the other day.
That's why there's always a gadget in front of our TV. My laptop or the iPad's a mainstay on the coffee table now for that reason.
It was such a geek argument. We were arguing over who played Elizabeth Weir in Stargate Atlantis, and I was like, she did too.
IMDb? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, so Logitech apparently knows how much we all like to do this and have created a device called the Logitech Harmony Link. It takes everything one step further, turning your iPad or your smartphone itself into a one-touch remote control for your TV. And yes.
That's hot.
Yes. The product is being announced today as supposed to be a fresh take on how to integrate traditional TV with a touchscreen tablet that is more natural, has a more natural user interface than a remote control with too many confusing buttons. Oh, you poor babies, the buttons are confusing. as such, Logitech may have one of the most interesting new TV accessories on the market this fall. You can use it on iPhone, iPod Touch, or Android smartphone as well. So, Ginger, that means you can probably use it too.
Yay!
With the Harmony Link, what you do is you plug in a little small wireless device next to your TV. Then you use the iPad to connect to the Harmony Link. Stop falling down, Junior. Via your Wi-Fi network.
There's a fly in here, and it's bothering me.
Oh, no. Y'all know Ginger's afraid of the flies. I'm surprised you can't
breathe. I hate flies. I hate them.
Okay, so then you, of course, use your finger to change a channel on the user interface on your iPad, and the Harmony Link translates your finger stroke into a command for the TV. And the Harmony Link then sends an infrared signal to the TV, completing the channel change. Now, to get it to work, you do need to download a free Logitech Harmony Link app for your iPad. After setting it up, the Harmony Link and the app work together to deliver a personalized schedule of your favorite TV shows, channels, and genres so that you can find something good to watch. And when you finish browsing to what you find what you want, you can use the iPad rather than than a remote control to switch to the right channel. Now, the benefits, of course, of using this big old screen on the iPad is you can find out a lot more about your show through the web-based interface from what appears on the iPad. You can read a longer description of your show, about what's on the current channel. There's a big Watch Now button. You can tap the screen, choose to review it. And over time, Logitech learns which shows you like and how to organize them for you. Now, I'm going to cut all this out and tell you how much does it cost. It's about $99. It's going to be available in October here in the U.S. Where's the fight going to come from? Well, didn't we just see those people over at Nintendo debut something like this, very similar, that's going to be along with the Wii U?
Ooh.
Ooh. Fight. And it's juicy.
Yeah.
You can also listen to the music controls. Listen to music controls. You can also listen to music. You also have it links to your HDMI ports and so on and so forth, Blu-ray movies. This is going to be juicy.
Yes, yes. Juicy. I'm sorry. And
I give it
had me excited for about 2 seconds.
I will give it about, let's say, 5 months after the Wii U comes out. If it has all these capabilities as they said it would, some of these capabilities, then it's going to be about 5 months before somebody files a patent dispute between, well, I don't know which one of them is going to do it, but that's what's going to happen. Because Apple is already waiting on the Wii U to come out so that they can file their patent dispute. How dare you make an object that looks like ours as they're fighting with everybody. We've been saying they've been fighting with Samsung and so on, so... Yeah, this is going to be good.
Yes, yes, they're all fighting. They're such fighter-fightersons.
Did you say fighting McFightersons? I'm done.
I might have. All right, I came across this story last night, and I cannot believe I didn't mention it first thing this morning. I wanted to, and I forgot. All right, gamers, you are all so awesome. Anybody who says gamers are not flipping awesome are just liars. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning. This came from the Seattle Weekly, and actually I came across it with the ECA last night. How gaming helped AIDS researchers.
Yes, I saw that yesterday.
Yes, this is awesome. All right, so a research paper published Sunday by the journal Natural Structure and Molecular Biology details how the online game Foldit successfully mapped a protein-cutting enzyme from a particular AIDS-like virus found in rhesus monkeys. This enzyme apparently helps the virus spread, and to counteract it, its exact molecular structure had to be mapped. This task had been impossible until crowdsourcing came along. University of Washington chemist Cyrus Kateb and computer scientist Seth Cooper handled the Foldit program's design and implementation. In a statement issued to the press, Cooper said that people are what truly made the difference in solving the monumental problem. Cooper says, people have spatial reasoning skills, something computers are not yet good at. Games provide a framework for bringing together the strengths of computers and humans. Kateb spoke with Seattle Weekly about the project last night, saying that this breakthrough was huge for science more than for AIDS because it could prove to be helpful to researchers throughout the world who could use the extra help with complex problems. Kateb says, this is the first case that we are aware of where online gamers solved a scientific problem that hadn't been able to be cracked by all scientific methods developed. My big hope is that other scientists will, with challenging problems they can't solve and have been banging their heads over the over for years, will come to us and say,
"Oh God,
can
I'm
you
all
help?
Clearing my throat in the air and stuff. I'm sorry."
It's fine. Kateb says that Foldit's success comes mostly from being an online competitive game. The game has around 236,000 registered players since it launched in 2008. By putting real-time scores and rankings that change based on how well-designed players make their molecular structures, the program takes advantage of the competitive nature of gaming to accomplish something real. Kateb adds, if we had just posted it as, hey, can you help us, I think we would have gotten a few volunteers and some would have stuck around. But the fact that there is this competitive aspect that unleashes a lot more motivation. The next step, says researchers, is for Foldit players to create new genetic structures related to the flu virus. We want to have players design a protein that will inhibit the flu virus. This is just the start. This is awesome. This is so awesome. Literally, gamers helping out.
See, sometimes it just takes a human.
GLaDOS.
Yes. And, you know, what it's going to come down to, what I think is going to be awesome, is if this does turn out to where we can actually find a way to stop AIDS in its tracks and even reverse it through the fact that we used the gamers to break this code that they've been trying to for the last 10 years. And it took 3 weeks. 3 weeks that they put this up. In 3 weeks, we broke it.
Now, see, here's the thing. They can stop it now. What they can't do is prevent.
Yeah, they can't prevent it.
They can't prevent it. And you'll still die from it, but not as soon as you would have, say, 15, 16 years ago. That was one of the more odd that I saw that yesterday. When I was in school, that was my actual project. It was all controversial. They didn't want me to do it. I had to get approval from the school board. And in doing so, doing the project, learned a lot about the AIDS virus. And the very thing that they're doing was like, well, you know, this makes sense. Why don't we just do this? So look how long it takes for them to catch up sometimes to human thinking. I think they stumbled upon something. I hope they stay with it. Sometimes you do have to involve humans. Yes, computers may think up things a lot faster, but like they said, we have spatial thinking, so it makes it work a little differently.
Yes.
I like that. I think we'll have a cure for cancer and AIDS, and I wouldn't mind being without the flu either. Just saying. And I'd be glad to participate. Did they say how you could help? We want to help, too.
You can download Foldit. I'm pretty sure it's foldit.org. At least I think that is. If you look up Foldit, you'll find it. Install the game and play. You can join a team. Make a team of friends if you want. Maybe you've got coworkers who also want to play.
Anybody out there want to be on our team?
Oh, yeah. We can make a gamer girls team. I like that.
Yay. And we'll be doing something good with our gamer time instead of just, you know, killing stuff. I likes it.
Yes.
Now, as brilliant as we gamers are, as I was telling Ginger earlier with the teenagers I was with last night, brilliant group of teenagers, but I'm not going to use
the
D word.
Around the babies.
No more. But some of you out there, you're brilliant, but yeah. So some of you that are so brilliant are still playing The Sims Social for some reason.
No, I spent like 20 minutes on that one night, and I was like, nope.
The Sims Social now has 50 million monthly active users, according to social game analytics site AppData. It's developed by EA and Playfish. Sims Social was officially launched last month, and it immediately, almost immediately, attracted 5 million of you out there playing. Since then, the game's audience has grown exponentially, picking up an extra 15.5 million players just last week alone to reach 51.5 MAUs. They said, of course, when they created The Sims Social, it was important for them to incorporate the deep gameplay nuances The Sims Studio has perfected and leverage what Playfish does best, develop compelling, cutting-edge social gaming experiences, said Playfish London General Manager John Erner at the time of its launch. The Sims Social is now second most popular social game behind Zynga Cityville, which has 74.1 million MAUs. However, recent figures suggest its popularity is waning, with 1.3 million users leaving the game in the last 7 days, probably to go play The Sims Social. Bye! I still stand by my that the people that are playing The Sims Social never actually played The Sims, and that's why they're all enamored. Although, if you go and look at the Sim groups on Facebook, no people that actually play the game like the social version. Isn't that weird?
I have heard that a lot. And I've got a good friend of mine from Second Life who joined Second Life after Sims Online died. And,
ooh,
yeah.
It's not dead.
Not dead?
It's not it's not open to the public. We have something there, I think. But they haven't evolved it. I think they probably were using it to test to make this Sims. What is it with The Sims Social is what I think they were doing. I forgot what it's called. They've changed the name, and you have to have, you know, special press media access, or you need to be a developer or whatever have you. But I think that's what they were doing, because it never actually died. It just the public can't get in. So, Ginger, you want to go in? No, you're not going to go. It's not fun.
No, I don't.
But I knew they were up to something. They tweaked some weird things when I was looking around in there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, me and Horace were crying about the Stargate game that was killed.
They killed the Stargate. Oh, Lord.
There was a Stargate World MMO. Yeah, it was killed about a year ago. And then the Stargate Resistance TPS that I played, which was so much fun, and I loved it.
Why was I thinking it was still coming?
No. No, because they released Stargate Resistance to help fund their advancement with Stargate World, and then Stargate Resistance went under.
They need to go over to Gamers First and see if they can get that back going, because Gamers First is, although nobody's paying them any attention now, they are the next, I'm going to dub gaming superpower to come.
All
the games that died, or people are like, nobody really knows about, are Fallen Earth moved there, APB moved there. There was another one I was looking through their catalog the other day that I thought was gone. I'm hearing rumblings that the Matrix Online, they're looking to move it there and probably bring it back. So, y'all look out. Remember we told you Gamers First?
Mm-hmm. No, and I loved Resistance. And I'm pretty sure if you go over to Game Matrix and look around under some stuff that I wrote when I first joined, there is something there about it. I loved it.
Ginger's been with us a year now.
Yes. A year.
And I'm going to tell you the mark of when I tell you I know I have a good friend who I can't remember not knowing you.
I know.
That means you're a good friend. I can't remember not knowing you. It seems like I've always known you. I keep wanting to say, remember 6 years ago? Wait a minute, I didn't know you 6 years ago.
No, I wasn't there. Wasn't there yet. I was coming. I just had to find y'all.
Oh.
Hello, Corey.
We're all in the bush this morning. Okay, news. All right. You want me to do another? You want me to do another? Another one.
Oh, sure. If you want to. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was sitting here talking with them.
I know you're talking to me. Juicy. Okay. This is going to make you angry.
Oh, no.
VentureBeat reporting this morning, Angry Birds coming to a Starbucks near you. Why are they doing
this? What? Coming to a Starbucks?
A Starbucks. Rovio Entertainment is in talks with Starbucks to bring the game.
No. Starbucks, you are already evil. You are the devil. Do not do this.
Hey. We don't speak evil of the coffee. God. That will be the one other company that's not a gaming company that I bought stock in. Oh, because I love Starbucks. Okay. You can talk bad about them. It's okay. My stock goes up, down. Don't matter.
go down, I buy more. If it goes up, I made money. It's good for me either way. Anyway, now I want one of those sandwiches, those egg sandwich things they make. Anybody out there like those ciabatta? Anyway, okay, so the game company is considering partnering with Starbucks to sell virtual goods and set up electronic leaderboards in the ubiquitous coffee shops. A similar partnership was reached over the summer with Barnes & Noble. The stores displayed leaderboards and added augmented reality gaming elements with a feature called Magic Places. Rovio Senior Vice President Weeb Waitmans told Bloomberg in an interview that the in-store promotions are an attempt to acquire new players and sell a wider range of Angry Birds-related products. Oh, especially in light of the company's anticipated IPO sometime in the next few years. Waitman said the company is already selling 1 million Angry Birds stuffed animals every month. Who is buying these?
I don't know, but y'all need to stop buying those.
That's $12. That's more than the game. What? Anyway, right now Angry Birds gear comes in a plethora of shapes and sizes. Of course, there are the aforementioned Angry Birds plushies. They're always good for a little pummeling therapy. And T-shirts. You can also buy Angry Birds mobile accessories, Halloween costumes, myriad of cheap plastic items from questionable licensing and origin. And, of course, there's the Angry Birds bra craze that we started here. That would be Ginger's fault.
Ginger finds the craziest thing.
You found it, and then AOL picked it up, and then it just went all over. Thanks, Ginger. Currently, the game has been seen in more than 350 million downloads. Mobile players are in the game for more than 300 million minutes each day collectively. Rovio wrapped up a $42 million fundraising round in March and is reportedly working on a new round with a 1.2 valuation. Okay. I believe that Rovio and EA, the people specifically that made The Sims Social, sold their souls to the devil, and that is why these people are playing these things, because I cannot see any other reason why.
I don't know.
These people, I understand riding your brand and making your money, but can you at least make a new Angry Birds? Can we... And not just a different... I don't know. I can't even think of a game designed to tell you something new to do with it. It's just like, do something else. Go away. Stop. Y'all make me whine.
Don't make her whine.
And I could not believe, if you look on our Twitter, there are pictures. I need to fix the picture, but there's a whole row of Angry Birds plushies. I couldn't believe it. In Toys R Us.
Wow. People.
Little ones, big giant ones.
Why?
And what was worse is I didn't get this on videotape when I should have. There were two kids that were playing a live-action version of the Angry Birds. Now, that was funny.
I bet that would have been hilarious.
One was holding a pig, and the one was like, okay, I'm going to do this bird. That bird doesn't make that sound. He made the sound. And I was like, I need to take
it. Oh, my God, so cute.
I didn't get to take that one, but it would have been adorable. But
I would have been.
Go away, Angry Birds. Go away. Or is it saying Angry Rats? No, that's New York.
Yeah. All right. I've had enough good news for today. Time for some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Video games frequently cited as reason for divorce. Yeah.
How about
all right.
People that don't like each other? That would be why you got divorced.
I know, right? Okay, so according to a study by divorce supersite Divorce Online, estranged wives are frequently citing video games as the cause of their failing marriages. Of the wives that cited unreasonable behavior for ending their marriage, around 15% said that their husbands put gaming before them.
Wow.
Yeah, according to Divorce Online, this new number represents a 5% over 2010. The most common games cited as the cause of breakups were World of Warcraft, really? Call of Duty? Okay. So basically, Activision could be considered a home wrecker. Darn you, Activision, you dirty, dirty home wrecker. All right. So, of course, blaming games for broken marriage is like blaming a Holiday Inn for your spouse having an affair. Psychologist and relationship coach Dr. Kamal Khurana says that while video game addiction is a serious concern, it is just one of the many problems the struggling couples need to address. Khurana says often men take playing video games as a stress buster and as a filler to fill a vacuum in their lives. It's wrong to play the blame game and place the onus on the creators of a particular game. The fact is that there is serious issues and there is something missing in the relationship that is pushing the guy to resort to escapism to deal with them. True flipping story, people. All right, he goes on to say that video game addiction can be dealt with by counseling and support for a partner, but couples also need to explore the reasons why the video game has become the man's main focus.
That's all BS. It is not an escapism. Some men like football, some like hockey, some like baseball, some like gaming, and the problem has to do with you and him, and you didn't work it out. Gaming did not make it happen.
No, gaming did not. There's something wrong with your relationship. You were both ignoring it, and you're trying to find something to blame it on besides yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Grow up, people.
Yes, yes. All right. Yep, so that was on the Times of India and GamePolitics.com.
Apparently, Horace does not like that you called Activision dirty homewrecker, so...
I'm scaredy horse.
He's rather upset about that.
Hey, I was just reading it from the article. They said it in the article.
Well, a quick blurb for those of you who are waiting so patiently for your Batman Arkham City, the PC version. Yeah. Well, I don't know when it'll be ready here in the U.S., but you UK peoples that we love so much over there, October 21st is when you'll get it, the 360. I'm sorry, no, you get it in November. The Xbox and 360 and PS3 versions will be available on the 21st of October. Sorry. That just came in my mail. I thought I'd share that with you. All right, okay. Now, I got something for Ginger. I have to tell her.
Oh, what you got for me?
Did you hear that ding ding that just came in? I mean, literally. It's got smoke on it when it's getting in. All right. So, Warner Brothers Interactive and TT Games are confirming that Lego Harry Potter years 5-7 video game will be available in North America beginning November the 11th for the Xbox 360 video game.
They need to send us a copy.
It'll also be available for the Microsoft, the PlayStation, and the PSP, and also the Wii, and the Nintendo DS, and the Nintendo 3DS, and Windows. See, that's how you do a release if you're going to do multiple platforms. I don't particularly like that when they do that, but if you're going to do it, hit everybody. They also revealed today that the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 Blu-ray combo pack from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment Group will include a demo of Lego Harry Potter years 5-7 for the PS3. Hot. Of course, if you're not sure about the Lego Harry Potter 5-7, it continues the saga of the boy who lived and this spellbinding adventure for wizards and muggles alike, all you muggles out there, because we're wizards here. Stop with the Twittering. This time, players are transported through the final three books and the final four films, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, The Half-Blood Prince, and The Deathly Hallows, to experience Harry's last years at Hogwarts and battle Lord Voldemort in the ultimate fight of good versus evil. The creative Lego prowess unites with the expansive world of Harry Potter once again to deliver an exciting and rewarding gameplay experience. The game features lessons, spellcasting, dueling, and much more for players of all ages to enjoy. Yes, and another Twitter.
Yes, yes, yes. We're talking about turning it into a drinking game every time we can make it.
Oh, talking about Lego Harry Potter? Oh.
No, about the Twitter ding in your background. Taking a shot every time we hear it.
Listen, I got water. I have alcohol, so we can do it with some water.
All right. I'm actually going to grab two, but I'm going to start with the
phone battery. Cut it out. This morning, and it's like down to like 2 bars because it's all the screen is freezing up. It's like, no, stop.
All right, there is a public service announcement up on GamePolitics.com this morning. Euros, watch out. PSN Europe maintenance on Sunday.
Oh,
boo. Uh-huh. Boo. A little public service announcement for all PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Portable users that play games over the PlayStation Network in Europe. On Sunday, between the hours of 5 a.m. and 12 p.m. British Standard Time, select PS3 PSP titles will go offline for maintenance. Sony also noted that users may experience some additional downtime after the maintenance for testing purposes. During that time, the following games and associated websites will not be playable over the PlayStation Network. For the PSP, there's going to be Combat Ops, Little Big Planet, Super Stardust, PSP Comics website, and MotorStorm, including the website. For the PS3, it's going to be Buzz, iPet, Gravity Crash, Home, Killzone 3, including the website, MotorStorm 3, including the website, Sling Star, including the website, and Wipeout HD. So, yeah, Sunday it looks like some of y'all are going to be SOL for your games.
Oh, sorry, guys. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you all need to check your airbags and brace for impact.
What we got?
Criterion Games and EA Company announced that Burnout Crash is now available on the PlayStation Network here in North America. It will be available tomorrow on Xbox Live, on the Xbox Live Arcade. And let's see, you can download it for about, $7.99. No, I'm sorry, 800 Microsoft once. I don't know, 7.99 euros. I don't know. The game brings, of course, hours of I Just Can't Stop Playing Fun to living rooms worldwide. Players who want even more Burnout Crash and excitement can head over to ea.com/burnout-crash tomorrow to check out the first hilarious video featuring international television superstar David Hasselhoff. I gotta go see that. You can stay tuned to the EA site for more videos over the next coming weeks, and we'll probably pull it over to our site if possible. Sometimes EA's nice and lets us have some. Is this the UK office? If it is, then they'll let us have it.
You know, it's bad when we gotta be like, you know,
we just
UK office will play with us, but the American office doesn't want anything to do with us.
They loves us over in the UK.
Okay, yeah, so that just goes to show UK better people. Y'all are so much more fun.
Okay, let me finish this quick because we got to take a break.
Oh, break time.
Okay, so the new Burnout Crash reinvents Criterion's fan favorite Crash mode, which is what I used to love to play. So offering an accessibility and compulsive fun for those new to the series and gameplay depth for franchise veterans, there will be 3 exciting game modes available across 6 unique locations and 18 crash junctions, each requiring different skills and strategies to maximize damage and debris points. Love it. Gamers can also express their road rage with their whole body using the optimal Kinect control. Oh, I love it. With Kinect Party Play, up to 14 players can split into teams and turn-based gameplay and use gesture controls on the TV to crash and burn in an all-out battle. I may have to get that. I may have to do it. Burnout Crash is a crazy mix of pinball, arcades, TV game shows, and 80s pop music. Featuring EA's revolutionary auto-lock technologies, players connect, compare scores, and face off against friends for endless competitive gameplay and challenging fun. In addition, the all-new auto-lock challenges feature lets players up the ante by sending direct head-to-head challenges to their friends. Who wants some? Who wants some? We can do
yes.
This.
Mm-hmm.
That's my game. Forget the rest of them. I mean, I like them, but this is my game here. I will kill all of you.
Don't kill me.
Not that kind of kill.
Don't kill me. I'm supposed to be killed.
I don't believe in that kind of killing. Why kill you when I can torture you for many years to come? Anyway.
No. Don't see how mean she is to me. She wants to torture me.
I didn't say you. I was speaking hypothetically.
Hypothetically, I want to torture you.
I got to play Jay Duke's theme song as soon as I find it. We're about to take a break. You can find us. Where can they find us, Ginger? I can't breathe.
GameAnatrix.com. You can also find us over on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, of course. You can find us inside Second Life. You can find us, well, you can find me inside Lord of the Rings Online if you know where to look. You can find me everywhere. We're all over the place. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Oh, we're also on Flickr now.
All right. And this next song is going out to Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Alright, so we got a minute 53 live. Guys, as you know, in about a minute 53, we're going to go to our non-streaming portion. You can download and listen to us and our other meanderings in about 15 minutes. Take us
yay!
With you.
You
said yay.
Yay!
I'm threatening Jay and Horace. I'm going to smoke him like a pack
awesome.
of cools.
That's so awesome. All right. Call of Duty, let me back up. Call of Duty Elite Beta available on the PlayStation 3. Oh, yes. All right. So they say we are thrilled to announce that the Call of Duty Elite Beta, I cannot talk. Call of Duty Elite Beta, utilizing Call of Duty Black Ops, is now available on the PlayStation 3. Beta testers can take their current Call of Duty multiplayer experience to the next level by jumping into the beta version of the Call of Duty Elite service, as beta access will start to be activated in stages, with limited invitations rolling out effective today. The PlayStation community will have the opportunity to connect, compete, and improve through Call of Duty Elite and play together better. The Call of Duty Elite beta, utilizing Call of Duty Black Ops, will test select features and functionality, including stat tracking, the use of custom player groups, competitive events, and video sharing. A major upgrade of additional features will come to Call of Duty Elite at its official launch on the 8th of November with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Premium members of Call of Duty Elite will also receive all downloadable content for the new blockbuster title Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. All of the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 DLC, 20 pieces, will be new in-game content, will be available monthly during the 9-month DLC season. But for those still waiting to sign up, DLC will still be available a la carte, too. All right, so to register for the beta, you can go over to callofduty.com/elite. For additional Call of Duty Elite updates, frequently asked questions, and additional information on the premium component to Elite, you can visit facebook.com/callofdutyelite. Yay! And I think we're on the other side now.
Yeah, we are. Don't you have to have a premium account to get to that?
PlayStation?
Yeah.
Because
I'm wondering if anybody can join, because I'll join in if it's free.
I think anybody can on the PS3. I think that was why there were such big grumblings with between the Xbox and PlayStation a while back. But
Guess we'll find out. Mm-hmm. Well, I am very, very excited because, oh my God, I'm going to have to sell some stuff today. What?
What am I selling?
Natsume's Harvest Moon, the Tale of the Town, launches today for the Nintendo DS. Yay!
But we're never going to see Cory again. No, people don't let her. Don't see her. Take this away from her.
I can't. We got too many games to review. I would love to be able to sit down and play, but I wouldn't have time. Of course, the Tale of Two Towns was launched for the Nintendo DS is available now for the low, low price of $29.99. Remember when games used to all cost $29.99? This one, of course, is rated E for everyone. They're saying they're very thrilled that the Harvest Moon, the Tale of Two Towns, is now available for the DS. This is from Hiro Mikawa, president and CEO of Natsume. He says, "We're sure diehard fans of the series and newcomers alike will love the latest title in the Harvest Moon series. Kohuna and Bluebell villages were once the friendliest of neighbors, but now their huge dispute has erupted between them, and they're all throwing up gang signs over, of all things, food." Mm-hmm. Both towns were certain that their cooking was the best in the world. This feud was transformed by these happy neighbors and has transformed these happy neighbors into bitter rivals. As a new farmer to the area, players choose which village to live in, which gang to join. Will it be East Side or will it be?
Oh my God, Jay.
Or will it be the European-style Bluebell? Players will pick a home, build a thriving farm, and compete in a huge variety of festivals. If they develop their skills enough, they might even find a way to bring these two towns together so they can stop hurting each other. The Tale of Two Towns is also available on Natsume's new online retail store at natsume.com. And you can go check that out there. Wow. I'm so excited. I love me some. Wait a minute. If I sell my old Harvest Moon, can I get the new one would be the question.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Can I trade? Okay, you know what? You all got to stop with the news. When we say 11.
Yes. When we say 11, we don't mean 12:30.
Yes. And I love that they'll put it there and say, "Hey, Cory, can you throw this in?" No, we cannot. This is over.
Ooh. All right.
Maybe I'll do it after Ginger Reese's. Maybe.
Yeah, more bad news. GamePolitics.com this morning, South Peak delisted from the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh,
ouch. Yep, publisher South Peak has officially been delisted from the New York Stock Exchange. According to a statement issued by the company on Friday, the company's financial condition and the current economic climate were the root cause. Yeah, all right. So the statement reads, the benefits of having publicly registered shares and filing periodic reports under the federal securities laws are outweighed by the associated costs. Should economic conditions and circumstances change in the future, the company may reevaluate this position. The company looked to be on solid ground with the success of its action RPG, Two Worlds 2, and sales from the My Baby series, which led to growth in revenues and net profits in the third quarter compared to a net loss of 2.1 in the second quarter. Several lawsuits with the CDV Software and Paradox Interactive last year hurt that led to millions going towards judgments and court costs hurt the company financially. Being delisted from the exchange is just one more thing that puts the future of this publishing company in doubt.
Ouch.
Ouch. Well, here's hoping that you get that all fixed.
Ugh. Sorry,
all right,
guys.
Well, can I grab another one since that one's kind of short?
Of course, darling, but of course.
All right. Another one from GamePolitics.com, because I love you guys. Appeals court sides with RIAA and Joel Tenenbaum verdict. Uh-huh. All right, so a Boston University student who just can't seem to get enough of file sharing owes the RIAA hundreds of thousands of dollars for downloading a ton of music again. Joel Tenenbaum's trial for file sharing ended with a $675,000 jury verdict against him, but Judge Nancy Gertner slashed the award down to $67,500. The judge said at the time that the massive judgment violated the U.S. Constitution and had to be reduced. The judge added that $67,500 was as high as permissible under the law. There seems to be some disagreement, as is usually the case, among judges hearing the case. On Friday, the First Circuit Court of Appeals sided with the recording industry, who argued that Judge Gertner had leaped to the constitutional question too quickly. The appeals court wrote in its judgment that Gertner should first have considered the non-constitutional issue of remittiture, which may have obviated any constitutional due process issue and attendant issues. Had the court ordered remittiture of a particular amount, Sony would have then had a choice. It could have accepted the reduced award, or it could have rejected the remittiture, in which case a new trial would have ensued. The appeals court also said that that its decision was procedurally proper, but that it also didn't support the harsh penalties against Tenenbaum. They say, we comment that this case raises concerns about the application of the Copyright Act, which Congress may wish to examine. Still, for now, Tenenbaum owes them 675,000 smackaroos. Ouch. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Just for downloading music.
Well, people, you got to learn to be more discerning.
I mean, it'd be one thing, you know, be smacked on the hand, find out what you downloaded, and be told, all right, now you have to pay for what would amount to each track or, you know, each CD. And then, you know, a fine on top of that. This is outrageous.
All right. I am all over the place, as we usually are during the news. I was checking out the game Dark Soul. So you all can check that out. Now, what I do want to tell you about is our friends over at Eurogamer. If you're over in that neck of the woods and you can get to the Eurogamer Expo, which is going on now, I believe, you can win some good stuff. Sony is saying that they want to fly one Eurogamer Expo 2011 attendee to Jordan, yes, the country, to take part in the Uncharted 3 Drake Deception 10,000 Euros treasure hunt. The Jordan treasure hunt is part of a worldwide Uncharted 3 competition. Winners from around the world will fly to Jordan for 3 days in early October to discover via treasure hunt the locations that inspired Uncharted 3. Now, that's how you do a promotion, people.
Mm-hmm.
You will be housed in the middle of the desert in an authentic camp resort and collect gold coins and clues in a race to discover the lost world and the 10,000, like I said, I believe it's Euros top prize. There will be a party and developers from Uncharted 3 maker Naughty Dog who will be out to chat, show the game, and then let you play it. All you need to do to get there is win the Uncharted 3 multiplayer tournament at the Eurogamer Expo in 2011. A maximum of 64 people can compete each day in 8 rounds that run every half hour from noon. The winner of each round goes through a daily final at 6 p.m. You can sign up for the Uncharted 3 competition at PlayStation Access area at the Eurogamer Expo this year. They're also saying you can also win a PlayStation Vita and launch lineup.
You'll be singled out. Wow. You'll be 1 year old Gamer Expo attendee will be singled out and given a PlayStation Vita plus all the launch games. Yes, we said all the launch games. And
so they want to just give that to me, right?
If we could get there. There's also a separate giveaway to the Uncharted. This is separate from the Uncharted 3 treasure hunt. So all you have to do is stand a chance of striking it lucky if to get the PS Vita is be in the audience. During the developer session, which is at noon on Thursday, at noon UK time, by the way, Thursday, September 22nd. Okay, it's not going on now. So you got a week to get your plane ticket together and get over there if you just really want it. The Vita session is going to be hosted by Sony Worldwide Studios VP Michael Denny and kicks off a packed schedule of sessions throughout the four-day show. And, of course, Uncharted 3 Drake's Deception is one of the many playable games at the Eurogamer Expo this year on the floor. Tickets are almost sold out, but maybe you can get one. Maybe we can get one.
Yeah, maybe we can get one. Maybe we can get some tickets there.
I'd have to go over and then, like, be deported. I have no passport. That is a fantastical prize. Wow.
Yes, yes, that does sound like a fantastical surprise. Wait, prize, not surprise. Prize.
It is a surprise, too.
Surprise. Surprise. All right. Fly. Oh, my God, there's a fly. It's going to bug me. Okay. What have we got? Check out the level editor for 505 Games, Dawn of Fantasy. The latest Dawn of Fantasy beta patch introduces more than just performance fixes to Reverie World Studios' flagship MMORTS title. The developers have given beta testers early access to the game's esteemed scenario design editor. The Dawn of Fantasy editor is an incredibly powerful tool that will ship with the game come September 30th, allowing fan designers to create their own playable scenarios with all the power of the Lua scripting language. This scenario design editor is the very same tool that the developers use to create all of Dawn of Fantasy maps, including the 3D world map, showing that there is no limit to creativity with this incredible utility. Featuring an easy-to-use intuitive interface and a number of new tools and you can customize it. The Dawn of Fantasy Scenario Design Editor revolutionizes the design process. This editor enables designers to create their own lush environments and put their imaginations to the test with the ability to craft fully usable custom walls, stairs, bridges, and towers using the advanced rotation and hover tools. In combination with the editable walk meshes to design free-flowing waterfalls and erupting volcanoes, to contrive fully customizable particle effects, to blend layered terrain paints to fit any need, and to create and save design templates that can be loaded into any map. In addition, the beta now includes a modding kit to kickstart fan scenarios and game modification. This kit includes a detailed guide to level design with images to guide the new designer every step of the way, as well as a guide to scripting and cinematography with Lua script samples to teach the new scripter how to set up his or her first triggers and a simple cinematic to create the start of a playable scenario. And finally, the kit will feature a number of sample scenarios that complement the guides, showing advanced level design and scripts in action. Reverie World Studios also has plans to support the design community with a new forum dedicated to scenario design and plans for a town design contest in the works that will give designers a chance to see their creations in Dawn of Fantasy's premier online kingdom mode. Head on over to the official site to check out the forums as well as the video video showing the level design process. All right, I have all that up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Go over there and check that out if this is something that you are interested in. Yay! Corey's quiet.
I am muted and talking. I said, I am. I'm very interested because you know I love me some level design.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Right. And I love that they give like the walkthroughs to teach these newer designers what they're doing.
They need to give that walkthrough to a whole bunch of people in Second Life because some people put together some stuff and I'm like, do you not know that you do not put trees this way? They don't go this way. They don't occur in nature that way. And signs do not do that. They don't turn, and there's no floating. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Don't get me started. Anyway, it's time for us to go.
Some people's children.
Some people's children. You say, your mama did not raise you right.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Your mama did not raise you right.
Oh, good Lord.
Your mama dropped you on your head.
Bad gingerbread.
All right.
I would never be bad.
Oh, you just drawn that way?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is time for us to go bye-bye. We love you all.
We love y'all all. We will see y'all tomorrow. We'll be here again.
Maybe. Possibly.
Well, maybe, possibly. Yeah, that's true. Possibly. Possibly not. My bad.
And I love how they're blaming me on Twitter and then give me kisses. Don't be kissing me and then... What is it? What is the phrase? No, don't damn me with faint praise. I know what you're up to.
I love you, Tori.
Gonna get worse and worse. So let me go ahead and take this down.
Yeah.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!